Danny Tillman is a substance abuse counselor who helps people battle opioid addictions. After the loss of her daughter, Brittany, she's become an advocate for using medications like Suboxone and methadone as part of treatment.
I used to come downstairs and she'd be in the kitchen making blueberry pancakes. That was our thing. We'd make blueberry pancakes together. And she'd just be down there dancing away. I miss that.
Danny works at the Life Change Center in Reno, which provides medication-assisted treatment. She shares her story with our reporter, Ann Gray.
Well, what brought me to the Life Change Center is that I'd been working in the field of treatment for quite some time. I was working for another nonprofit here in town. And my then 20-year-old daughter called me from Seattle, Washington, and she said, "Mom, I'm shooting coke and heroin. I need help." I knew that she was a part of the rave scene up in Washington. She was a go-go dancer and she loved the nightlife. And she's at that age, you know, she was 18 and 20 years old and, you know, she was dancing and hanging out with her friends. So it didn't surprise me at all. What surprised me was that she called and asked for help. That was the surprise. I think what happened was that enough people that she knew had gotten kind of caught up in this circle and some had overdosed and some had passed away and she was afraid. And she knew that when she called me, there wouldn't be judgment. Opiate addiction is unlike anything else. It's unlike any other addiction. And you see kind of this charisma with these 18 to 24-year-olds that are getting addicted to heroin that you just don't see with a 40-year-old alcoholic. You just don't see it. And you get this earnestness about them and this endearment. And they want to be better. But the draw of the opiate and the way that it attaches to the receptors in the brain and the things that are happening up here, along with the fact that they're 18 to 24 years old and their brain is still developing, they just can't battle it. And so once it gets a hold of them, it's just kind of this hopelessness that takes over. And that's that moment that you get a chance. And that's where she was at. She reached that hopelessness and it was that moment. And I dropped everything and I ran up to Seattle and I picked her up. I put her in a treatment program. So it was a 12-step abstinence-based treatment program. There was no medication-assisted therapy. It was relapse prevention work. Just it was a different time, different thinking. And she wasn't quite ready for that. She still needed to get well. She needed to figure out how to deal with the cravings and the obsession to use. She wasn't ready for relapse prevention work. And she made it through that treatment program about 3 weeks. And then she left and she ended up on the streets of a tiny rural town. And that's just what we see with opiate addiction more than anything, is that obsession and compulsion to return to use is often much stronger than the will to stay clean. Throughout the course of the next 6 months or so, we had these conversations back and forth that went something like, you know, "Mom, can I come live with you?" And I'm like, "Well, sure, you can come live with me, but I need you to not be using." "Well, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to stay out here." "Mom, I'm going to come live with you and I'm not going to use. Can I go get Suboxone?" And I'd say, "Well, no, you can't go to Suboxone because that's just, you know, that's just trading an addiction," right? So I had this perception. I'd been working in the field, but I'd been working for a program that didn't deal with medication-assisted therapy. I remember I had this apartment that had a loft, and her room was that loft upstairs. And I can remember I'm looking up at her, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, and I'm going, "Brittany, this stuff's going to kill you." And she leans out over that loft railing, and she says, "Oh, Mother, quit being so dramatic." And she left my house that night. And then 3 weeks later at 5:30 in the morning, I had the coroner knocking on my door. She was gone. And that one haunting question kept coming into my mind. And that was that Brittany had asked me about Suboxone services. She'd asked me about medication-assisted therapy. And that's pretty much how I ended up here, is that I needed to know what other options there were, because what I had tried didn't work. I went through a period of time that, you know, I blamed myself. You know, I blamed the agency that we took her to. Of course, you know, you go through those stages of grief where, you know, you get angry and what's it all for? And what am I doing this for? And in order for me to live with what this was, I had to give it a purpose. And her death has the purpose of helping others. It has to be, or it won't make sense to me.